the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Oh. What you know is that the aircraft touched down.
Yeah, are these the roots?
What is it?
Statue of Liberty or snowman?
Blackout and declared martial law.
Daddy, what's martial law?
A little bit of the trailer of the latest Brad Pitt horror movie called World War Z, a zombie movie. I like zombie movies. Zombies are fascinating for some reason. This one has a literal worldwide zombie apocalypse. We're going to be reviewing that movie and The Lone Ranger, a movie that has, interestingly enough, a hard time deciding what kind of movie it's going to be, according to our guest, Pastor Ted Giese. Pastor Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts and associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Let's talk first about World War Z. Based upon, very loosely you say, based upon a novel, that Brooks novel of the same title. Does it succeed as a horror movie, and how would you respond to someone who says, look, it's a zombie movie, Christians should have nothing to do with movies about the undead or the reanimated?
It's interesting. The World War Z novel, I just finished going through it. That is more horrific than this movie is. The movie is more of a thriller. I mean, it has zombies in it. It's like an action thriller, though. It's like a mystery action thriller, kind of one man against the world kind of thing. It would require probably more blood and guts and other kinds of things for it to really be a horror film. That being said, some people are going to see it and it's going to be scary, because if you don't like zombies, then you're not going to like this, right? So if you do happen to see zombie movies quite often, then you'll probably enjoy it, because it's not a bad zombie movie, but it's almost more, it has moments that are more like Jurassic Park or something like that, where really they're doing all of the things that you normally find in an action thriller movie, you know, to build tension and kind of get you right in the moment. And as for the question about whether Christians should watch zombie movies or not, I think that the main question is, you know, what are we thinking when we're watching them? What's going on? There is kind of this unsettling thing about zombies, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk about that too here. But the whole genre of horror films is really an interesting one, because it is one of the few genres that take things like the supernatural seriously. This movie, World War Z, of course, is more based in science and less in, like, it's not a supernatural kind of thing, which you would normally find in a lot of horror films. So you just have this kind of real scientific explanation as to why it's going on. It's a virus. It's that kind of thing. It's just unrelenting and really disgusting.
you say that there's a bright spot in this movie, despite all its action and everything. The family that is depicted, the Brad Pitt character's family, with about a minute here to get started, and we can pick up on the other side of the break. What is it about this, kind of in the midst of a action thriller, zombies chasing everyone everywhere, that you find?
This was the real gem of the whole movie. Like, the book itself is a collection of people's oral histories of what they went through during this fictional zombie apocalypse. And what this movie does is it tells a story kind of set in that quote-unquote universe. And it's about the Lane family and the main guy, Jerry Lane, and he's the dad in the family. And it's just this real little gem of a thing in this movie, how this family operates together and how they are really like a picture of what St. Paul talks about in terms of the family in Scripture.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movies World War Z and The Lone Ranger on this Thursday afternoon, July the 11th. When we come back, more on World War Z. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movies World War Z and The Lone Ranger with Pastor Ted Giese. Pastor Giese, so we have this family in this zombie movie that you say in a lot of ways epitomizes a kind of the, at least in the outward sense, kind of the model of what a biblical family ought to be. Pick it up there if you would.
Yeah, this is like Ephesians chapter 5, right? So this is a family unit in which the husband is the head of the family, and he loves his wife, and he'll do anything for her. He risks death for her in order that she wouldn't be defiled by these zombies and their terrible virus, their disease that spreads. And the kids love each other. They respect their parents. The parents, you know, are really good with the kids. They're firm with the kids. They make sure the kids get everything done that they need to get done. It's really, you see also this family unit that pulls together in the face of trouble and tragedy and gets stronger, and not one that where the drama is derived from the family unit melting down. This is one where the family unit is shown to be strong And that's kind of a fantastic, it's a real kind of a gem in the midst of all of this that was unexpected. I really enjoyed that.
You said earlier that there's something kind of fascinating about the zombie genre, and that it and kind of our fascination with it, which is undeniable. I mean, it's not just a cultural fad. You know, one of the most blockbuster series, The Walking Dead, is, you know, about people living in a post-apocalyptic zombie-ridden United States. That's just one. This movie is another. What is it?
It's a combination of things, I think. I've kind of watched a lot of zombie movies over the years for one reason or another. And at different times, they kind of focus in and they hone in on certain things. Like, so there was earlier ones that focused in on the idea of consumerism being this terrible thing. So you have these zombies that, when they reanimate from the dead, all they do is they just go to the mall, and like they stand at the mall and they want in to the mall because they have this memory of their consumeristic lifestyle before they died, kind of a thing. But currently, there's maybe more of a focus on just kind of like the ugly decomposition kind of end of things, and I think that's more connected to a general fear of death. As the greatest generation is passing, and as the baby boomers are aging, zombies kind of have all of these things that are fears that everybody has, but particularly fears that baby boomers have. So the question is, what do baby boomer Christians, what do Christians in general need to think about when it comes to this? Stuff like loss of self-control, loss of your own body, death itself. All of these things are kind of wrapped up in the idea of zombies. Now, for the Christian, an interesting thing happens is that on the day that the dead rise up, this is not the same sort of thing. What we believe as Christians, on the last day when all of the dead rise up, that's going to be this glorious, fantastic thing. This is not going to be shambling zombies with decomposing flesh and desire to eat brains. This is going to be people who have been brought back from their death into an eternal life, that their bodies are going to be like Christ's own glorious body, and that this is going to be what their state of being is going to be like into eternity and forever. It's the exact mere opposite of what you see with zombies. And there's not going to be stragglers left over kind of a thing that have to deal with all of this. What happens is Christ comes back, the dead are raised, but it's glorious, and it's not this horrible sea of decomposing flesh.
Eight men rode into canyons. I dug seven graves. The men you seek think you are dead.
Better to stay that way.
You want me to wear a mask?
Justice is what a man must take for himself.
Buenas tardes, chiquitas.
We gotta go. Yeah.
Not yet.
It's the trailer for The Lone Ranger, the latest Johnny Depp movie. Ted, you say that they have assembled all the right ingredients for another complete smash centered around Johnny Depp. Have they succeeded with The Lone Ranger?
I really wanted to like this movie a whole lot. I thought it was potentially going to be really fun and great, and it just kind of all falls apart at the seams everywhere. Yeah, they had everything all together. They had the same producer. They had a bunch of the same people that were involved in the various parts of the Caribbean movies, same composer, just all sorts of stuff all marshaled together to make this great, big, fantastic movie. And that, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride, you know, had this big bump from the movie, and maybe at Disneyland, you know, Frontierland would get more, you know, going on because of this. And boy, oh boy, it just doesn't get where it wants to go. It's a very confused movie, unfortunately. I guess if you just totally turn your brain off and get some popcorn and sit back and watch it, you might be fine. But the moment you start thinking about everything, it gets a little bit murky and strange.
Now, you say part of its major problem is it doesn't know whether it wants to be a comedy or a tragedy. But laying that aside, you say that there is kind of a ham-fisted way of dealing with spirituality, in particular the Native American spirituality, that it kind of robs the movie of something that it could otherwise have.
Yeah, I'm not an expert specifically on every different kind of Native spirituality that exists like in the Aboriginal cultures of North America, but there are certain things, like what you get is just kind of like a melting pot of ideas that you wouldn't have really found anywhere in history. Now, again, can you really take a movie like this and, you know, expect it to, you know, have all of this figured out? Maybe not, but you've got, you know, Wendigo kind of stuff that's like Algonquin, and you got like just things that aren't from the geographical area that this is based in. So, you know, beliefs that Comanche Indians just didn't have and weren't part of what they believed, and then Tonto is a Comanche Indian, and it's not just that, it's also you know, a very shallow view of Christianity. There's Presbyterians in there that are just treated really poorly. And it just all adds up to being this kind of thing where they just weren't really careful with anybody's spiritual beliefs in it. And that can kind of throw things off. And the whole tragedy, and whether it wants to be a comedy or a tragedy, it kind of centers in that too, because on one hand, you know, you'll have like a whole group of Native Americans all being killed. And instead of having like a moment to reflect on that, instead, there's a joke about a horse up in a tree, and it just kind of doesn't pace well in that regard.
Finally, with a few minutes here, just a few minutes, the Lone Ranger, I don't think I'm giving anything away, gets to be the Lone Ranger because he's allegedly killed and then kind of mysteriously brought back to life. Where does that fall within kind of a connection, or does it maintain any kind of connection with a Christian worldview on such things?
Well, yeah, it's just really different from what you find in Scripture. Like when you find in the Old Testament and the New Testament people being risen from the dead, when you have like the widow of Zarephath's son in the Old Testament, or you have Jesus raising the widow of Nain's son, or when you have someone like Tabitha being risen from the dead, all of these instances are times when, particularly Lazarus, for instance, all of these instances are times when it's not hidden. Like, these people don't wear masks afterwards. Their names are recorded in Scripture. It's public. People know about this, and it provides opportunity for people to be drawn to the one who raised them up. So this is the exact opposite of what happens in the Lone Ranger movie, in which, you know, this is supposed to be covered up. The idea is that all of these other Rangers were killed, and this is kind of like the Phantom Ranger left that's flesh and blood and is still coming after the bad guys. But unfortunately, it's not like what you're going to find in Scripture in that particular way, that Scripture was very public when it came to these things, and this is designed to be kind of extra mysterious or with the mask and all that kind of thing as well.
Folks, you can read Pastor Giese's excellent reviews of World War Z and The Lone Ranger under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
When we come back, we've got hour 2 of Issues Etc. straight ahead on this Thursday afternoon, July the 11th. We are coming to you live. It's going to be part 2 of our 10-part series on Christianity 101. Pastor Stephen Parks will join us. The subjects for hour 2, original sin, free will, and the cause of sin. These are some of those basics that when we talk about Christian doctrine, the Christian faith, we have to get straight. If you get a crooked view of original sin or free will or the cause of sin, then in a lot of ways, the rest of your theology will end up equally, if not more, crooked. So let's lay the foundation Straight, in part two of our 10-part series, Christianity 101 with Pastor Stephen Parks, on original sin, on free will, and on the cause of sin when we come back. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for July is called Divine Kingdom, Holy Order. It's a great book, by the way, because it delves into some of the lesser known, perhaps heretofore unknown, writings of Martin Luther on politics. He wasn't a politician. He was a theologian, and his view of politics was based in his theology. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. It's called Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Divine Kingdom, Holy Order. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did Martin Luther's political writings lead to the freedom of conscience, the separation of church and state, and German totalitarianism? Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther is the Issues Etc. book of the month. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Divine Kingdom, Holy Order by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382. And I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.